Luke chapter 13, verse 23 and verse 24. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now that's the strait gate, that's a very, very troublesome doctrine. If you'll just stop and dwell on it and think about it, the doctrine of the strait gate. And the Lord himself, he said, strive to enter in. And that goes against, on the surface, that would go against what we consider perhaps a doctrine of grace. If you have to strive to get there. To the holiness people, it's a mantra of constant striving and works. And they're always about if you do this and if you do this and if you do this. And to what you call the easy believers, the extra free grace people, it's also a thorn. It's a thorn in their side because now they have to do something. And to the Calvinists, it's sort of a hybrid bridging of both sides, the holiness people and the easy believing people. So you might say, not belittling the Word of God at all, but to many it's a conundrum. As I spoke with Brother Robert this morning up in Huntsville, and there are many things that the Lord, he left, that they weren't crystal clear to us. And so what of the straight gate? And what does it mean to you and I? That's the important thing. You'll find something very similar if you turn to Matthew chapter 7. Most of you are familiar with it. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14, he said, Enter ye in, where? At the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So now you got this searching and you got this striving. And we see here in Matthew, these are two separate gates, the wide gate and the straight gate, the narrow gate, you might say. And these gates, they must be found here on earth. We're not gonna choose gates when we get to heaven or when we get to the afterlife, okay? These are gates to our walk here upon this earth. And the gate, the door, and the way that we've entered our walk upon this earth will determine who among us that professes Christ enters heaven. Pretty important. It's of extreme importance. And though many be on the walk, it seems like in the day, they were all on the walk. But few entered at the straight gate. They're on the walk. They're in the way, but they didn't enter the straight gate. And those of our text and those of Matthew 7, these were all very religious people. Our Lord was talking to religious people. They cried, Lord, Lord. And we know from Matthew 25, the 10 virgins, and they were all virgins, and they all had lamps. But only five possessed the oil. Very religious people. If you turn to the book of John, John chapter 10 and verse 1. He said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Well, who is the door? Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. You see that? The door. So it's synonymous, the door and the straight gate. This is a way that you must enter. So there's your straight gate, Christ Jesus. Well, what of these others? These that are cast out. Those that were religious, but they didn't enter this way. They were and are not only as, but often more religious than those that entered the straight gate or came in by the door. Far more religious. But you see, they entered some other way. Now that's a key. Is the way that you enter this way. All of you that are hearing this voice this morning, you're on the way. There's no doubt about it. But how did you get here? How did you begin this walk? Thus, he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Have all things become new? I know you're on the walk, but have all things become new? Have you been born again? Have you been freed from sin? And though you may wonder, well, how? How did they start and follow a wrong Lord? I mean, when you think about it, they're all very religious. Baptists, Methodists, holiness, very religious people. As A.W. Pink said, 9 out of 10, he believed 9 out of 10 in church were lost. Very devout, cast out devils, many wonderful works. But when they said, Lord, Lord, he said, I don't know you. I don't know you. Well, now, God has an answer for that. Does not Satan have ministers of righteousness? And how close they are. Does he not have even angels of light? We learned that from Corinthians. I've experienced in this walk many churches in the Broadway. And the ones that you would suspect outright, they're often not the ones that you might expect. We recognize, obviously, the very liberal churches. They're not hard to spot. You know, very liberal doctrine. They're just very, very liberal. But I'm telling you that there are some that appear very narrow, extremely narrow, far more narrow than us. Casting out devils, wonderful works, virgins with lamps. How about those Amish? Remember that? We've had experience with those people. We've had experience with Amish that profess grace. Straight people. But where did they enter? Narrow? Though it appears such, we've learned the contrary. Some of them were child molesters. Many of them. I've observed some very narrow appearing works that eventually ran contrary to sound doctrine. Followed them for years, and they seemed so straight, right on. Many people still follow. How about John MacArthur? How many people follow John MacArthur and think that he's God-gifted doctrine on earth? Or how about Paul Washer? They preach stout, preach strong, preach right. Lord, Lord. And yet these deny the literal efficacy of Christ's blood. Amazing. We've often experienced such in our own midst, almost to the coming of physical blows. Why? The blood. The blood. Well, I thought everybody is a saving blood, but they don't. But you see, it's always the blood. It's always the blood. There's a washing of regeneration that must take place this side of heaven. Though our sins be as scarlet, washed white as snow. How? The blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I was removed from one of those so-called straight sects for just such. You see, they chose to remain in their sins. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18 through verse 21. He said, little children, it's the last time, as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it's the last time. That's how we know. And they went out from us, and many, many did. But they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they'd no doubt have continued with us. Why wouldn't they continue with us? If you don't believe this is the right way, what on God's earth are you doing here? But they went out. Think about them. They all went out to a man. They all went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. When a man denies the efficacy of Christ's blood, that's a lie. It's a lie. Amen? It's the straight gate. Romans chapter 8. My favorite chapter, as all of you know, I'm sure all of you know by now. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 and verse 14. Verse 9, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. In Romans 8, 14, you should know it by heart. Many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And back over to John chapter 10. Verse 4 and verse 5. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I can't count, literally cannot count, the churches that we've walked out of in our walk, especially early in our walk. The straight gate. Now, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 22. Verse 11 through verse 14. The man that came to the wedding feast, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now, early in my walk, I told you, you'll find this in the book of Revelation, this wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. This man was very religious. He thought he belonged there. He absolutely thought that he belonged. And then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. That robe be the righteousness of Christ. That's what you receive in the new birth. And it's the best deal in the universe, the best deal in the Bible right there. And that's the straight gate. You want to see it? You can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Do you see it? who knew no sin, that we might what? Be made the righteousness of God in him. He became my sin, I became his righteousness. What a glorious thing. Wow. You must be born again. Paul said, when he knocked down the road to Matt, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I say to you, this must occur. This effectual calling. If you look at Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress, I call him the Pilgrim because we're all pilgrims. Pilgrim in the Progress, he almost had this mountain fall on him early in his walk. Because Mr. Worldly-Wise told him to go to the village of Morality and see one Mr. Legality. Well, how'd that work? I mean, if you think I haven't met Mr. Morality and, been to the village of Morality and seen Mr. Legality, I mean, it's all around us. And I couldn't begin to count the number of those that I've met in the way who entered some other way. So he started to enter another way. He didn't. He found the wicket gate because he found the evangelist. The word cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But I could write a book on just those who've been through our midst in this work alone that came in some other way. I'm not going to go into them all, but those that have been with us for years, you just think about them. They came in some other way. Brother Jeff, he left to work filled with people. Came in some other way. Pilgrim, he was on the path and later in his walk, and he met formalist and hypocrisy. And they climbed over the wall. They're on the same path. You see? They were on the way, and the book says that they were from a land called Vainglory and were going for praise to Mount Zion, religious people. But you see, Christian asked him, he said, why came you not in at the gate at the beginning of the way? So you've got to go back to the beginning, where this thing began. How did you begin in this walk? Where was it you began? And anybody that enters any other way is a thief and a robber. The Lord said in Revelation 3, I would thou wert cold or hot. You see, no other ground, no other gate. And some of these ways have been going on for thousands of years. One in particular, for 6,000 years, ye shall be as gods. Now, I'm going to confess something to you this morning. I've had a pretty rough week. And not only physically, but I've had spiritual battles. And I don't know if any of you have ever had any spiritual battles. I'm certain you've had some physical battles. I don't know if you've had spiritual battles. Matter of fact, today is the anniversary of one of the biggest spiritual battles that I ever encountered when I was halo flighted and split in half physically. It wasn't just a physical battle. It was a monumental spiritual battle. Know ye not that we wrestle not against flesh and blood? I hope you know something about it. What's all that armor for? Ephesians chapter 6. Well, the enemy came to me this past week in one of my most weak hours concerning this very thing, a spiritual battle, concerning the straight gate. And I had mentioned the straight gate last Sunday, last Lord's Day, if you remember, and the enemy told me, he said, you just preached on it. He said, but you can't enter in. You're not allowed to. It's too narrow for you. It's an impossibility. You cannot enter that gate. Now, you may be supernatural in your spirituality, in your spiritual strength. I don't know. But believe me, when I say that it 3 o'clock in the morning that you've had no sleep and trouble breathing. You can hardly breathe. And you're in mortal pain with the feeling of a giant weight on your chest as if a boa constrictor is, pardon me, squeezing the life out of you. Well, you're very vulnerable. You're very vulnerable and you're in for a battle. And the enemy knows that. That's when he comes. And no matter how long you've been in the way, listen, Pilgrim fought Apollyon far down the line. It wasn't the first day, well into his journey. And if you're in the way, the narrow way, eventually he's going to block your path. And if you don't believe that, then you're on the broad way. And you got plenty of room to get around him. But if you're on the narrow way, he's going to block your path. Now, I could certainly go on, but I want to leave you with a glorious, glorious verse. And that is from the book of Job. Job chapter 25 and 26. And Job, boy, he went through it. But he said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Amen. "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." What a glorious thing. And that's what I need to know right there. The words of Job. "A righteous and upright man whom God turned Satan loose on." I saw in a show the other day, and this so-called religious girl, she turned from her religion. Matter of fact, turned to harlot because she couldn't believe that God would do something like that. Now, I haven't reached Job status. Don't anybody that has, thank God. But I have fought and will fight many more battles upon this earth. And yet I know that my Redeemer liveth. You see? I know my Redeemer. How? Why? He's the door where I came in. How do you think I got in here? You see, the door which I entered, that's straight. He was there. He is the door. And if you didn't come through Christ Jesus, I'm crucified with Christ. If you didn't come through that door, if you didn't come through that gate, if you didn't come to the cross and lose your burden and get free from sin, you're on the broad way, the broad way. Now, I don't think I could preach a straight grade without leaving, and we'll close here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And I'm sure all of you know it, if not memorized, familiar with it. It said, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Amen? You see? So, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Make your calling and election sure. When you tie all those things together, you need to go back to the beginning, the foundation. What's your foundation built on? He said it's going to be tested, you remember? Whether it's hay or stubble. And he said, you know, if you're on the wrong foundation and the waters come, the winds come, and it's going to be it's all going to be tested by fire. And so the straight gate, the door, where'd you start? You've got to go back to the beginning. You can't just look at it now just because you're in the way. Because many, they came over the wall. Hypocrisy and formality, they came over the wall. Very religious. They came by tradition. Many of you come by tradition. Most Catholics come by tradition. Amish, by tradition. They come over the wall, but they never entered the door. They never entered the straight gate. Do you see? So, I don't ask you how you were born. I ask you how you were born again. That's the key. How were you born again? How did that happen? Surely you must know something of it. I mean, I don't remember being born in the flesh, but I know something of it. The straight gate. Have you entered by the straight gate?